Why? Yes?
It evoked emotions.
Yes, it evoked emotions. I think when in our kirtan or in our glorification of the holy name or in any part of devotional service, when we do this minus emotions or minus feelings, devotional feelings, then it can become a little tiresome. But anything which is done with emotions becomes really a deep experience, a personal experience. I very much liked that after this kirtan you did not break out in clapping as if it was a performance, but you were, I mean, there's nothing wrong in clapping, if you, but what I want to say is, yes, kirtan is a personal experience of Krishna. And this idea of bringing the heart to our devotional practice is so important, my dear devotees. It's like adding salt to a sabji. Without salt, the sabji is the word bland? The taste is bland. No? It is like bringing understanding to the study of scripture. Without understanding and this aha moment, the study of scripture is tiresome. This bringing of the heart to our devotional service is like bringing fruits to a garden. Without fruits, the garden is just wood and not fruit. This bringing emotion is like bringing a sense of relationship to being together with people. It turns everything around. So to awaken the heart is very important. And please let us again collect our memory of what we heard before. We are not speaking of emotional devotion. We are not speaking of emotional bhakti. We are not speaking of sentimentalism, not of sahajism. If you would isolate of what we have heard from what we discussed in the morning, you would have something that is not so substantial for genuine spiritual practice. But when we speak of bringing the heart to our devotional practice, we speak of that faculty. Do you understand this word faculty, or this ability, this gift in us to relate to Krishna? Something which is not there in the animal and not there in the materialistic mind set. It is the spirit which is bringing a sense of dependency, a sense of longing for Krishna. It's all these finer sentiments to which only human beings are able, who are not totally covered by materialism or by institutionalism or by anything that robs your independence and freedom from your soul. Good, this is the idea. We will do something very nice. How is it for you, the temperature? It's okay, or is it? I also find it very nice, but I can't make my sense of well-being dependent on yours. So, yeah. I would like to address this serious subject, which it came from one of the kirtaniers. This kirtanier is a very sincere devotee. He is also has millions of followers on the internet. I found out later, but he said to me, "Maharaj, can I talk to you personally?" I said, yes, of course. Could we do it in the afternoon at 4 o'clock? Are you free? Yes, he said. So we made a time. We met in a room. He said, is there no microphone? Is this room not mic'd or spiked? Or what? How do we say that? Bucked. Is it not bucked? What is this? I asked. Yeah, and he explained to me there could be microphones. I said, my God, this seems to be a real, are you telling me, of the newest undiscovered scandal in ISKCON? What is it? I became a little bit just curious. He said, no, Maharaj, I want to speak about what I think is a paradox in our society. We demand of those who take initiation to chant 16 rounds every day, free from offenses. Do we do this? Yes, I said. I knew already where he was going to. Now, I'm a Kirtaniya. Lots of people come in contact with me and want to speak to me, and all of them tell me they have difficulties in completing 16 rounds. So what they do, then I asked them, what did you do? Well, I wanted to be initiated, so I did the severe austerity. I quit my job for 3 months. I quit my relationships. I threw out my TV set for 3 months. I gave it to a friend. And then I just forced myself to chant every day 16 rounds. So when I was asked by my spiritual master, you promised to chant how many rounds? I said, 16 rounds, Guru Maharaj. I did it in the past. But then this flies out of the window after initiation. Maybe 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, depending on the sense of integrity, which is not so high in Kali Yuga, and so on. So isn't that a double standard? We demand something for initiation, but we already know it will not be kept after initiation. This is what he said. So Maharaj, what do you have to say now? Mr. Jabaritarit man. I said, can we open the window very, very far? Yes. Can we open all the doors very far, very open? I want the whole world to know what I'm saying. Okay. I mean, we didn't open the windows or open the doors. It was more metaphorical language. Yes, if you chant without taste, it is almost impossible to keep it going without offenses. You will be very distracted all the time if you make it, or you will drop it because you feel it doesn't make any sense to do this type of... is that spirituality, you might ask yourself, to force myself, beat myself, chain myself, slave myself into something? Is this good? So you will not keep it. But can't we talk about the question how we can do it with taste? Because if you do it with taste, it is wonderful. I think we all felt that I didn't wish to come to the kirtan. I needed to do something there. I have the cottage just next to this. I hear everything, which is nice. But then I felt, oh my God, this kirtan has so much taste. I want to also participate in this kirtan. But I know if it would be a kirtan without salt or without fire or without fruit or without taste, I would probably have had many reasons to not attend. This is a human nature, my dear devotees. By our nature, we are pleasure seekers or taste seekers. We are not by our nature frustration seekers. This is not how we are crafted. So we cannot, or duty seekers, we cannot maintain our spiritual life on just duty. It does not work because our machine doesn't work like that way. It needs a different type of fuel than frustration and duty and this and that. Is it clear? Do you feel this is correct or is it incorrect? Good. Why is taste so difficult? The reason is that taste for the holy name is the result of bhakti sukriti. That means someone has done activities in the past that brought him the benefit of having bhakti in his heart. But someone who has not these sukritis, that sukriti means a benefit, blessings, you know, endowments, gifts, divine gifts, he will find it very difficult to have taste. This bhakti sukriti is often accumulated through many lives, but some of us, or many of us, are starting in this life with our spiritual life. It is said, although great ascetics practice austerities through many lifetimes, birth after birth, they are austere, 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 they find themselves unable to utter the name of Rama even at the last moment of their lives. This is a statement by Tulsidas. The Bhagavatam again reiterates or repeats the statement that the austerities and good qualities and even circumstances do not contribute to your taste. The Bhagavatam speak about a dying man. He's terrified. He's lying down on his deathbed. He's just about to die. He has collapsed. Although his voice is already faltering, He can no longer speak. He is hardly conscious of what he is saying. But if such a person, terrified, he has just collapsed, faltering voice, if he would utter the holy names of the Lord, he could become freed from all the reactions to his karma that bind him like chains. And he could attain the supreme destination if he would only chant the holy name. But still, the Bhagavatam says, this person and people in this age of Kali will not worship the Lord. They don't have this taste. These in poesy, these people are compared with people who have come, who are dying from thirst. They have come to a nourishing well with crystal clear water. The bucket is there to fetch the water, but they have no rope to lower the bucket into the well and then draw it up and use the contents to survive. Mm. This is the difficulty with taste, my dear devotees. It's not available to those who have no bhakti sukriti. They can be qualified in austerities, in dutiful execution of rules and regulations and so on. They can be highly learned scholars, but if they don't have this bhakti, this devotion inside, they will not be able to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna. Are you now hopeless? Why do you laugh? This is a time to cry. It's like a person going to the funeral pyre and then starts laugh as if he has met what is the Marx Brothers, you know. You need to know when to laugh and when to cry, my dear devotees. Otherwise, it's not good for your psychology. So there is a time, however, where human beings cry out to the Lord. There are long hours. And this is when all hopes of rescue are gone. When there is no comfort or sympathy. When no one even likes to talk to you any longer. When you are poverty-stricken, desolate, in bad health. When your reputation has just gone down the drain. Speaking New York English. When your heart is scorched by suffering and sorrow. When there are no friends and well-wishers at your side. In these hours of crisis, the afflicted soul naturally looks for the loving embrace of that unknown friend. Would you agree? Have you been in such situations? Suffering, especially in the age of Kali, is bringing anyone, even the spiritually covered person, to cry out. Now, should we now distribute knives and everyone does the harakiri thing, you know, inflicting suffering upon the body? No, my dear devotees, but you need to see how can you come in a state of mind where you call out naturally, where you say, "Oh Lord, you alone can save me. No one else can help me out." Queen Kunti talks about this. She says, "O Krishna, it is in sorrow and suffering where we can remember you." You know, when all the illusions of material life are gone. You think success is wonderful. You should have money, you think. You think you should have beauty, very shapely forms, muscles. You think you should be very cultured. But this covers a veil of illusion over the soul, who then turns towards this comfort. It is when you are disillusioned, then you will turn to that. I know this sounds totally different than modern ISKCON. It is purposefully said like this. My dear devotees, this state of mind comes when you practice the key which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given as the only condition for chanting. Mahaprabhu has given no other conditions. It's absolutely free. There is, however, one key that brings you into a state that is a little similar, that is a state where you are in need. Some of you might know this verse. Some of you might feel already so bored when you hear the first letter of this verse because you have heard it in practically every second lecture. But have you understood and followed it? The verse is Trinadapi Sunichena Karoyi Vasahishnuna Aninanagena. When you feel lower than the straw in the street, that's quite low. When you feel, what was the word? More tolerant than the tree, who is hurt and cut by knives and by, you see this especially in Vrindavan, people cut trees for their firewood, but they never kill them, I found out. There is a way to take branches which facilitates further growth, and they know this. So when you are hurt and you still tolerate it, you respect others without asking for respect. This is the feeling of dainya And dainya is sometimes translated as lowliness, a little up the scale. The translation is wretchedness. Do you know what it is? Wretchedness. You know, that's so good when you don't know English. You always look up every word, you know, and then you know, wow. So it's really feeling that although I'm really not qualified, I'm really nothing. At that time, when you are low, you can be high. When you are minus, when you are away from the illusions of material life, then you can claim your spiritual riches. But when you are covered, very difficult. So most of us, including myself, are not really able to come to the Trinada Pishloka. We are not practicing it. It needs practice in order to make it not just a signature, you are insignificant servant, but a meaningful expression. It needs to be practiced. I would like to tell you a story. Once a devotee who had done many mistakes came to Yamaraj. Yes. Chittagupta said, you were supposed to be a devotee, but you acted so impossibly towards your child, towards your wife. You were so cruel to your wife. And the devotee said, well, see, it was not really me. I was dependent on outer circumstances. She behaved so impossibly. She always provoked me. So Yamaraj stands nearby and he nods in agreement. Chittagupta said, but my God. Actually, it's not about a devotee. A devotee doesn't do this. It's about a normal person. You left your children. You did not take care of them at all. And the normal person says, you know, my ex-wife had really told them they should ignore me and they should just steal money out of my pocket whenever I would come home. And, you know, I was really not in control. So Yamaraj nods. And the other sins are said, and he always excuses himself with so-called good excuses. I was not in control of my mind at that time. I had been too much overwhelmed by misery and sorrow that I was no longer in my natural wits. And Yamaraj nods. So it goes on for an hour or so. And then Yamaraj said, I have one final question. You have always deflected by saying that these were the circumstances. It was not you who did this. The circumstances brought you to do like this. But I have this question. Why then were you all the time proud? If you couldn't claim anything, any agency, any responsibility, and it was all due to others, all to circumstances, why were you always so proud? And the man, the normal man, it's not a devotee, I mixed two stories. No, devotees don't do these things. The man had no answer. It's this false pride which covers all of us. You could call it also by modern words, conviction in yourself. There are many words for pride which we may jump upon and dress ourselves in with. But my dear devotees, pride and an illusion or attachment to an illusion never brings you to the platform from where you can chant the holy name. What do you think about this heavy pill? Something to think about. It's good that you don't immediately go, Haribol! Your faces tell me you want to think about it. It's because we are very invested in illusions, in false stories of success, which we have not thought about to the end. It's that we don't have this humility and cannot access this feeling. But it is when we can sit down and turn to the Lord as if He is our exclusive shelter, where all of a sudden we access this buried, covered, and shoveled over spiritual gift that the Lord has breathed into us. Yes, genuine spiritual life, my dear devotees, starts when you understand you are not the body. Does this sound on home ground? Have you heard this? It's in the Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness can start when you understand you're not the body. It means you're not invested any longer in an illusion. You are able to now turn away from the material distractions and you are totally with Krishna. And this, by the way, is a devotional process. It has nothing to do with the suffering of which we heard earlier. It's very blissful. It's very relieving when you don't have to act out false roles any longer. It's very relieving when you sit there with tears in your arms and arms under the arms, that sweat, and tears in your eyes and say, my Lord, I left you. It was not you who left me. It was me who left you. My Lord, I'm turning now to you. Yes, many, many, many ages have passed. Millennia have come and gone. But now some sense has awakened in me. And I'm now turning to you as your sincere and serious service. My dear devotees, that is Trinadapi. That is your starting point of chanting with taste. That is when it's possible. But when you are covered with mountains of wrong understandings, invested in that which you have to lose at the time of death, all these material things, that thing is just some philosophical statement without any relevance to your life. Hare Krishna. You know, when I say these things, I'm sweating. It's not easy to say these things. They are true, then they are necessary. If we do not address the question which the devotee addressed to me in that closed room where he said, I hope it's not bugged. No, I hope this bugged. I hope there are no wires and microphones hidden and it comes out to the world what I say. You know, I said, don't worry, I will say it to the world. But I won't mention your name and your very renowned Kirtan leader, whom I have asked also, can you check what is the situation in the world? Because when I asked everyone, how are you doing, they say, Haribol to me, and I don't believe anything, not the H, not the A, not the R, not the I, not the B, not the O, not the L. Krishna. How can we come to this place in practice? I mean, coming to Trinadapi, that is usually happening in the school of life. But is there a practice? And yes, we have isolated a practice with our team. It's the three gates of chanting. Thank you very much. We will, for now, I wish you just to look at it. I will, at the end, distribute to you a piece of paper, a practice sheet. No? For now, just please focus, and so on. It's an old concept which is presented in the Living Name. The idea is that we as human beings are composite beings. Do you understand what this means? We are put together by different parts, like cars. No, there are tires, there are, what is it called, transmission. On some cars there is the word rogue. We found such a car. There are seats and so on. So in our human personalities, we have a body, we have a mind, and a quite complex psychology around it, and we have a heart, this more spiritual part of ours. And if you want to come to that place of delightful, tasteful chanting, you will have to go through the gates of the body, the mind, and the heart. What does this mean? You have to chant with your body properly, you have to use your mind properly, you have to use your devotional feelings properly, and before you know, you stand before the altar of the Holy Name. May I ask you, who has visited the Haridev Mandir in Govardhan town, Vrindavan? Saranandi, you have been?
Yes.
Wonderful. It's about one third or one fourth of you. It's an ancient temple. It was constructed according to ancient guidelines. And when you enter the temple through the main door, there are other smaller door entry doors, you first come into a very big hall. Then you go through the big hall into a smaller hall, which has a very nice dome over it, in which inside there is a yantra. And then there is another smaller room, and then there is Haridev. So this temple construction wants to express the first hall is the body, you go through the body. Then the second hall is the mind, you go through the mind. And the third hall is the heart, and you go to the heart, and then you can see Haridev, this beautiful deity who calls everyone to his lotus feet and offers protection. So, my dear devotees, like an ancient temple construction, you are also constructed like this. The first hall, the gross thing, is your body with the senses and so on. You use it in pronouncing the mantra properly. This is the gate of the body. Mm-hmm. Then you have to address the mind and go through the gate of the mind. And finally you come to the last gate, the gate of the heart. This is the image which we have. I think we give them another image which is slightly more artistic. You will get it in the end. So what do you do? Please sit now. Gokrishna, can I ask you to go to the... We will do this with kirtan. Or should we do it with japa? Kirtan everyone does, knows. Let's do it with japa. It's all right, Gokrishna. If you have the body and the mind and the heart engaged, then Psychology speaks of this as congruence. Do you understand what congruence means? It's harmony between the three things. When you have harmony between these three things, it is very good for your well-being and you become peaceful. When there is disharmony, you have anxiety. It's like this. Let me give you an example. If in your mind and heart you really want to do something else, but for so long you have to work a job that is in the wrong environment, that you know has to do with the slaughterhouse industry or wine industry or sex industry or anything which is foreign to your liking, you know, then you can develop strong anxiety. This is the problem of inauthentic people, where the inside, what they really think, is different from the outside. Like they smile and agree, and their mind says, "You are, you know." If you are too much in this incongruent disharmony between your inner and outer life, you are inviting anxieties of all kinds of things. You have to live, therefore, an authentic life where the inside and outside is same. Yes? It's a very important concept which Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says. So when you do something for so long which you don't like, it is a problem. By the way, it's better than not doing it, but because you're doing something spiritual. It will not work. So congruence, harmony between body, mind and heart is important. Can I request you to just close your eyes? We will not use our Japamala for this. We will just chant. When you hear this symbol, this, not symbol, it's... By the way, did you pick a symbol for your... I heard one devotee picked a laddu as her symbol for this retreat. This devotee was concerned perhaps of taste, you know, with taste and so on. So when you hear this, it means start now. And when you hear this two times, it means stop. So what we will do is, we will do some chanting. I just have to get the golden tone here. Let's just see. Oh, yes, this is the right one. I will chant now alone, and then I request you to sit properly, to pronounce the mantra properly, and to then listen to the sound of the mantra. We are on our way to the heart, by the way. We are going through the gates and we're going to the heart, and then we want to meet Krishna. Let's see if this works. No, wait a minute. I gave the wrong symbol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Please continue. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. much. The task is clear. You are chanting, but as you chant, you are listening to yourself, making that sound. In other words, you're producing a sound and you listen to the sound. So let's start now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please continue.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
So this is the river of sound. Continue, please. You are surrounded by the river of sound. Very good. Was the gate of the body. Normally, in normal practice, we do this for much longer. Let us now go in the second hall. Let us pass the second gate, our mind. Now, there is one situation with the mind. It rarely remains in one place. It is, in Arjuna's words, chanchala, it moves like the wind. This is not bad, it's just the way it is crafted, it is made. However, the mind can be fixed. The mind is like a horse that gallops here and there and then to the other place. But if you put a piece of iron above the tongue, you call this in English, you put on the reins, no? Or how do we call this? The tresses, is it the tress? Or what? I can't hear you. The pit? The what our horse Noah knows, that thing. If it is put on the tongue, the horse cannot run here and there. It has to follow because the tongue is related to its steering thing. We humans are similar. If we eat and if we chant, if we eat prasadam and we chant the holy name, our mind can be subdued. However, my dear devotees, you have to take care that the mind does not dislodge itself in the process. So therefore this time we will continue to chant and we will put all our attention always to the first Hari. I will indicate this. I will be able to hear if your mind is concentrated. It's a certain energy in the air which is easy to spot. I would say the first Hari, and then you really put all your laser mind beam-like attention on the first Hari. Good. So we start normally, and then I will say the first Hari, and please continue to chant. I might say many things. I might try to distract you like anything. And I know some secret things which work with devotees. Keep this the holy name on your tongue, like the horse needs that iron piece and then can go. Huh? So we will start now. First Hari now.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
My dear devotees, put all your attention now on that first Hari. Yes, now, yeah, very good.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Please, everyone, the first Hari.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now the same thing, it's nice that you are so enthusiastic, but this sign means we stop the exercise. So now, my dear devotees, it's no longer the first Hari. It's the second half of the mantra, that is Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think you know where we are going. We want to do the whole Mahamantra. Once again, let us start.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
The second half of the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna.
Full concentration.
Hare Hare, Hare.
First and second half, both the whole mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
My dear devotees, my heart tells me I should now reward all of you with a ice-cooled mango lassi, which has good cream in it, and there should be some cranberries also, soaked into it. Very high school, because you did wonderful. But this is not how you will chant your 16 rounds. It's an exceptional situation, which we do just to show to you that it's possible, just like a wild horse, a Mustang, riding between Colorado and Delaware, can be caught with a piece of iron and go according to the desire of the rider. You can also control the mind, but that's not what is going to happen. My dear devotees, therefore let us go to the devotee who made Laddu as Laddu as symbol. Taste. No? By taste, you can chant even better than that. It sounded nice, but a little forceful. Did you notice? It had a little this yogic sound, yoga, mishra, bhakti. Much better is if you enter the third gate, or pass through the third gate, the heart, the human heart, where this ability, you could say almost this Morse instrument, is the Morse beep 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 beep, or mobile telephone nowadays, the mobile telephone to Krishna is, and you can activate that. And that is done when you bring your mind and everything in your heart, or let us express it differently, come to a devotional frame of mind. For me, this is that one verse. In our devotee community, we have one devotee from Australia. Do you know his name also, Sri Prahlad? Yeah, he is a really amazing personality. If you ever meet him, I really encourage you to speak to him. He's very sensitive. He is a Gurukuli. He grew up in the Gurukul. And I asked him once, Sri Prahlad, why are you so devotional? He went for a long time with His Holiness Indra Dumna Maharaj, and he's a wonderful kirtan person. He used this, what is this instrument? Accordion, yes. Until his back hurt so much, he had a very good accordion. I think he doesn't do this regularly, at least. And he has given his whole life to Krishna. He's an academic, he's a professor, but he gives kirtan events in Australia. In Sydney, he has a good following there. And I asked him, what is your secret? In New York, I would say, what's your secret, man? But here, I was a little sensitive to, what is your secret, Sri Prahlad? And he said, you know, when we were children, in the Gurukul, every morning we recited one verse. And of course, in the beginning, we did this by rote. The rote is automatic. But then, as I became older, I thought about this verse, and it's in me, like my genetic codex, like my DNA. And here's the verse for you in English. My dear Lord Krishna, since so many long years, in this material world, I have completely forgotten you. My dear Lord Krishna, since so many long years in this material world, I have completely forgotten you. But today, I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. And you enter into the secret of into the words of this. My dear Lord Krishna, for so many years in trying to chant, I have forgotten you while I was chanting, or while I was doing service, or while I was going. I have occasionally thought of you when I stood before the altar and had your darshan in the morning, or when I listened to Krishna Katha. But generally my life was so busy, I have not paid enough attention. I feel that in my heart we have a connection, but I'm just not present so much, not like this. Now I turn to you, my Lord, as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. Let us try to chant from this place. I hope it is not too difficult for you to come to this place. We human beings have various platforms of awareness. Sometimes we are in the critical mood, sometimes we are in the enthusiastic mood. This is the devotional mood. My dear Lord, please accept me. Let us also not chant so loudly or forcefully, but more tenderly if possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Please continue. Himself lower than the grass, who who's more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respects to others. Such a person can always chant the holy name of the Lord very easily. Prabhupada gives this a very, very interesting bent. In his purport, he speaks about a leader who should never be proud, what to speak of us. He says, "This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position, being always humbler than an ordinary common man. He should go on preaching the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra." Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, to access that platform, that mood, where you can chant very easily, means with taste. We have learned something about the heart way, which we do not wish anyone to experience here. That is, when everything collapses catastrophically around us, even our reputation falls to the ground, and then we know there's no shelter any longer except for Krishna. To come to this in a voluntary way, we align our body, mind and heart to the practice, and we chant. And what is very good, my dear devotees, really very good, is to chant when you have something in your mind that is very congenial. Like we heard this poem, "Oh my Lord, I'm the weaver of your name. The toil of this world is over. I experience no fear and no pain, because my oh Lord, I'm the weaver of your name." No, weave the name, like a weaver would weave. You can look up in Google what it means to weave. There's a loom which goes back and forth, or you do the same with your hands, and then you make a cloth fabric. No, weaver of your name. Let us weave the name and dress in the name. Be in the name, surrounded by the name, and that will be our eternal good. If you chant like this, my dear devotees, it's a chocolate cake to chant like this. It's so easy, no? Good. I want to do now two things with you. But I need to ask. I thought first, because the kirtan was so attractive, there was so much taste, that I left my other duties. And I ran over. I thought I should ask Achyuta Gopi to just quickly, 5 minutes, to share something about what do you do as a kirtan leader. I can imagine, Achyuta Gopi, you are invited all over the world. I know you come with these mind-breaking international flights from America, and you arrive 1 hour before your kirtan slot in Radhadesh, and you have to somehow, the devotees think, "Oh, Achyuta Gopi is coming. I'm also coming." And what do you do? How do you chant in a deep way?
simplest and most effective thing that any of us, all of us, can do is to be radically honest. And as Maharaj was saying, the more inauthentic we are, the more there is this cognitive dissonance. We start to battle between our two selves, our self that we are projecting and the self that there is internally. And being radically honest kind of cuts out the middle passage of having to reconcile two versions of ourselves. And I wrote a book of poetry and offerings to Sri Govindadev, and it wasn't at all originally an act of bravery. It was simply me being honest and kind of thinking, okay, this is going to be a seva. And I didn't think much about it after that, but the biggest thing that I've heard is that other devotees have said, I felt like this also. The highs, lows, midways. You will find that someone feels exactly the same way that you feel. Even if we are at our lowest. Even if we feel as though we have made devotional promises that we cannot keep. The point in speaking about them is that we are not the only person that has made a devotional promise that we feel as though we cannot keep. So what do we do? If we can somehow be honest, then that gets Krishna's attention. Krishna seemed to be waiting for Arjuna to become radically honest. But Arjuna comes to a point where there's a complete breakdown and a meltdown. He says, I can't do this. I am a soul surrendered unto you. I have lost all of my composure due to miserly weakness. And Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speak about this miserliness. Kripana. So a miser is not just a person that is hoarding their wealth, but it's a person that promises, I'll donate, and then refuses to do so. It's us. And at least, definitely me. I've made innumerable promises. Oh my Nidai, of course I'll give. I'll give my heart, I'll give my time. I promise, this time I promise, I'll do it. And then I don't. But somehow or other there's hope. And the hope is that we are simply just given another day to try. And so in being radically honest, I try not to foster a mood of complete and utter despair. But instead I try to remind myself that, okay, if I'm going to be completely honest, then love means forever trying. And so perfection in the art of loving exchange doesn't mean that everything is right all of the time. In fact, Krishna doesn't really like it when everything is right all the time. Isn't it? If everything was right all the time, then he would have no need to be born at midnight in a hurricane in a jail cell. Right? No? Yes? Our Krishna likes some spice. You know, all the pastimes. And if there is no spice, he will find spice and insert the spice. Just ask Queen Rukmini. Everything was nice. She was perfect. And then Krishna likes to add some spice. Really, you shouldn't have married me at all. I don't know why you chose me. There were so many other people. Do you even know where I come from? Until the point where she gets so overwhelmed and then she faints. Because spice, flavor. If everything is perfect, it's bland and boring. And so our perfection in the art of loving exchange doesn't mean that we have to be perfect, because that's boring. What it means is that we continue to try, and Nayendra Prabhu says that we continue to try even when something about this boy troubles us every day. But I'll keep trying in my imperfections, and I'm going to be radically honest. I'm going to fail. I'm going to promise you things that I'm not going to upkeep, but somehow or other, despite myself, I'll keep showing up because there's something about this Krishna. And all we have to do is be 5 minutes more devotional than we were the day before. Spoiler alert, I was the one who picked the laddus as my symbol. There was a hunger that brought me to this holy name immersion, and I wanted to remember to stay hungry. They say you should never go to the supermarket, you should never go grocery shopping while hungry. Right? The ladies know. Right? Because then you buy all of the things. But this is the one market that you should come to hungry. Come to the market of the holy name that Nitya has opened starving, and buy everything. And so I wanted to try and remember to stay hungry for the holy name. Go shopping hungry all the time. And so in my desire to try and remember to stay hungry for the holy name, somehow or other, keep that hunger, because that's going to drive me forward. And I was thinking about the one personality who was always hungry for anything Krishna, which is Madhumanga. Such a sweet friend of Krishna's. So hungry for Krishna's association, he won't even go home at night. His grandmother is Purnamasi. So I won't go home. You can come find me at Krishna's house in the morning. I'll just stay. So Mother Yashoda has a nice room for him. What can she do? How can she bear the scent of him? And he will do anything and everything. He will make a fool of himself. In fact, that's one of his nicknames, that he's a fool. He will make a fool of himself just if Krishna smiles one time. That I can do. I may not be perfect, but I will show up. And I'm willing to throw everything at Krishna if it will just make him smile one time. So if we could be radically honest, 5 minutes better than yesterday, stay hungry, and be ready to make a fool of ourselves just if Krishna will smile once. Somehow Srila Prabhupada promises that our lives will be perfect.
Thank you, thank you. Bravo, well spoken, well spoken. Yes, it is said by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that Krishna is Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen, not the savior of the Kapata Pavana. He's not known. Kapata means the cheetah who's projecting something. Thank you very much. So this was a serious workshop. You did very well in trying this thing. I must say, when we do it in a workshop, we just do it to give some taste. When I apply this, it's usually when I'm alone, I'm traveling very quickly and to try to do many services, but I have a base, an ashram, and there I go a little bit slower. I make nature walks, and there is a bench where I sit. The bench is the back is towards a cornfield, and on the right side is a graveyard. Down the road a little, not just next to there. I'm sitting there. There are oak trees which give shadow, and then I come there, and usually I'm exhausted from traveling and from life, and sit down. And then I apply this. Okay, what do we do? Sit down properly, Mr. Swami. Then bring your full concentration and focus to the name. I'm going through the second gate. And now I usually have a book with me. It's called Sharanagati, the Prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I read exactly one prayer where he turns to the Lord in supplication. That jumpstarts my tired heart. The reading the prayers of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then it's... I usually come too late for prasadam, Gaur Krishna can tell you, because it's so tasteful, this chanting, that I forget. So, this is something that could help. But please think about this first part of the lecture. Taste goes when you invest in the wrong thing. Taste comes when you invest in the right things. Good. And now we have 15 more minutes, no, 10 more minutes. This is exactly the time I wanted. I request you to find a neighbor now. Just, it could be anyone. I suggest ladies go with ladies, men with men. And you discuss what is your personal takeaway from this workshop with the discovery lecture. Remember, the discovery lecture was bringing the mind into the heart and chanting there. No? Good. Please start now. I will give you a sign when to stop, and then Gopi Manjari will explain to us how to go on. And on a retreat, it helps you actually to reflect on the things which were said. And this, it is said, just hearing without reflection is not, you will forget 90% or so. But if you hear, if you reflect about it, and often hear what another person saw, it will stay with you. Very nice. The purpose of this whole, this part, this was the morning discovery lecture, and this was to open up perspectives how we could perhaps chant more with taste, so that both our observance in kirtan and in japa is more blessed, or let us say, more inspired, more alive. No, did you understand it like this? Yes, we pushed the gas pedal a little bit down this morning and in the beginning, but it's just to make us aware that this is serious. Prabhupada once said that 90-something% of our spiritual advancement is depending on chanting. Imagine. Shouldn't we focus on this? Make a point. 90-something. I have this number from Mahatma Prabhu, who is usually good in these, he isolates these Prabhupada statements, and therefore it's good. Fantastic. Fine. I will not say more. I want to request you stay there.